Okay, last week one of the guys came over to give me a good topic to speak on, which I didn't have really enough time this week to think about. So in coming attractions, next couple of weeks, I'm going to speak about the attitude of Yiddishkeit towards sports, organized sports, or that kind of thing. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. But because I didn't have time to think about that, I had to resort this week to something that I've spoken about many times, but not in this context. It's probably going to be more than a one-part, it's probably going to be a two-part, at least a two-part series, maybe a three-part, on the appropriate attitude towards tefillah. We're going to talk about the attitude towards tefillah. You, of course, know that the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omeid, al ha-Torah v'al ha-avodah v'al gemilus chasadim, that tefillah, many of the Rishonim understand in that Mishnah that Avodah is a reference to tefillah, and that tefillah is mamish one of the things that the world stands on. It's a very, very serious, serious topic. And this is also illustrated by the Gemara Maseches Brachos and Davavam and Beis, where the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, Kerem Zulus Levnei Adam. So the Gemara has a play on the words Zulus, Kol HaMispal Achor Beis HaKnesses Nikra Rasha. Anyone who davens behind the shul is called a Rasha, Shnemar Saviv Rishoy Misalechon, Kerem Zulus Levnei Adam, Elu Dvarim Ha'omdim Birumo Shelolam. I don't think it's Kerem, it's Kerum Zulus Levnei Adam. Like something elevated which people are mizalzel. Kerum, Ram Al Kol Goyim Hashem, Kirum Zulus Levnei Adam. There's some things that are elevated, but people are mizalzel. Elu Dvarim Ha'omdim Birumo Shelolam. This is a reference to things that stand in the most exalted place in the world. Ubnei Adam Mizalzelim Behem. And people, for some reason, are mizalzel in it. People don't take it seriously. People don't put energy in to try to do it well. So says Rashi on that Gemara in Brachos, Vav and Beis, what's an example of something that stands Berumo Shel Olam, that stands in the most elevated part of the world, but people are mizalzel? Says Rashi, Kigon Tefillah. For example, prayer is an example of something that is such an important thing, but people just don't really take it too seriously. It's interesting. Maybe one of the reasons, there's a lot of reasons why people don't take it seriously. One of the reasons, I once heard of Soloveitchik in a shiur he was giving on Chayesar. I heard a tape of it. Parshas Chayesar, where he talks about the Rashi, where he says, Bas, it's next week's Parsha, right? That she was Bas Kuf ki Bas Chof, and Bas Chof ki Bas Zayin. There's a problem with the Girsa there. It's something a little bit strange. I think it says, Bas Kuf ki Bas Chof lechet, u Bas Chof ki Bas Zayin leyofi. That she, when she was 100, she was like 20 when it comes to sin. When she was 20, she was like 7 when it comes to beauty. Now, who's more beautiful, a 7-year-old or a 20-year-old? I don't know. So some people say there's actually a Girsa problem there, that it really meant to say that she, when she was 100, she was beautiful like 20, and when she was 20, she was without sin like she was at 7. But that's not the text that we have. So he was discussing over there that Sarah Imenu was able to mix, you know, the advantages of being youthful and the advantage of being old. That's what he was beautifully describing. Because, so he said over there that for learning, to be older is better. But for davening, to be younger is better. Because learning requires experience, requires knowledge, which it's an intellectual endeavor, which requires, the more you know, the older you are, the more you've been around, the smarter you are, the more you can do it. But davening requires the opposite. The more you know, the worse of a davener you are. Because davening requires the complete youthful submission. Because learning is all about conquering in terms of understanding. So the smarter you are and the more you know, the more you're going to be able to understand. But davening requires the opposite. It requires a tmimus. It requires to not know anything. It requires to just totally throw yourself at the mercy of the Rabbanu Shalom, to subjugate yourself. So that's hard for people to do. And sometimes when you get older and older and older, it becomes harder and harder to do. But people also, of course, don't do it because learning, hopefully you're learning a new sugya every day, so it's exciting. Right? But davening is the same sugya. It's the same sugya every day. So it's much, much more difficult. Very, very difficult. What the Gemara says is, Dvarim ha'omdim v'rumo shel olam. Something that stands, and yet people are just mezalzel. They're mezalzel by not taking it seriously, by not really thinking about it, by running through it, all the ways, by just going through the motions of it. So first we have to establish, you know, why is in fact tefillah so important? So the Gemara says, Maseches Nida on Daf Ayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Ma yasa adam v'yechkam. What can a person do to acquire wisdom? Yarbe b'yeshiva v'yemayit b'schora. If you want to acquire wisdom, so you have to sit and study, you have to use your mind, don't work so much, work just what you need to make a living, but the rest of the time you should think about wisdom. Amru, the Gemara says, Harbe also came lahoilahem. A lot of people did that, didn't work. A lot of people only worked a little bit and they spent a lot of time thinking about wisdom, they still didn't become wise. So rather, what do they have to do? El yavakshu rachamim mishachach mishalo. You have to ask for it. Shenemar ki Hashem yitain das mi pivchach osvuna. The Gemara says later on, my kamash malon, the ha below ha lo sagya. One without the other doesn't exist. Without the hishtadlos, without the sitting and thinking, and without the asking for it, neither of them work. And similarly, the Gemara continues, Maya saldam v'yis asher. What should a person do to become rich? Yabi b'schora, do a lot of business. V'yisa v'yitin b'amunish, do it honestly. Amrullah, they said to him, Harbor also came to Laholem. A lot of people worked a lot, and they were honest, and they really put in all the kaychas, and they weren't matzliach in business. El yivakish rachamim v'misha osha shalom. And then the Gemara says, what should a person do to have kids? And the Gemara keeps on going on and on and on. Everything a person says in Mars says, ha b'lo ha lo sagya. By the way, a number of the ideas you hear from me today are going to be found in Rav Shimshon David Pinkus' Sha'arim B'Tefillah, which completely changed the way I viewed prayer. I highly recommend, if somebody wants to work on their tefillah, I highly recommend, at least in terms of the philosophy of prayer, which leads you to working on the technical mechanics of prayer. That's one of his big yisodos, which we'll talk about in 1 second, but I highly recommend the Sefer Sha'arim B'Tefillah, which is really amazing in terms of getting at the kishkas of what exactly it is, what are the problems of prayer, what gets a person to pray better. So the Gemara clearly states that any bracha that a person wants or needs in life requires two things. It requires effort through natural human means to acquire it, and it also has to be asked for it. Ha below ha lo sagi. So, whatever we need in life, the Gemara seems to say, whatever we need in life, that has to come through tefillah. Now, one of the things that it's important to talk about, and this is what I said before, what Pinkus talks about a lot, is that tefillah is called avoda. Very interesting, right? It's avoda shebelev, that's true, right? The Gemara says, right, how do you know that tefillah is daraisa? Va'avartem, right, this Hashem Elokecha, va'avartem Hashem Elokecha, you work, right, ezu avoda shebelev, what's considered to be work of the heart, have a omer, ze tefillah. This is a reference to tefillah. But it's important to know that tefillah is avoda. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's work. It requires a lot of effort. Anything that a person wants to do well requires preparation, it requires thought, it requires effort. Anything that's worth anything in life requires effort. And for some reason, davening, sometimes people don't view it that way. It's like, either I'm in the mood and it's going to hit me, I'm going to be in the spiritual mood and I'm going to daven well, or I'm not going to. So if Pinkus writes there and he says, no, davening requires work. That's why the Chassidim HaRishonim HaYushon and Shah Achas Koidim HaTfilah. That's a halacha. It's in Shulchan Aruch. It says in Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Tzadi Gimel, Yishe Shah Achas Kodem Sheyakum L'Spal Kidei Sheyachavein Libo L'Amokom. It takes time beforehand to get into the right matzav ruach, to focus yourself and say, I'm actually talking to the master of the universe. I'm actually having a conversation. I'm actually really, 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 right? Like I'm talking to you. Right? A person should think when he's saying the words, he should envision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is 2 to 3 feet in front of him, and he's actually speaking to him the words of tefillah, like I am right now speaking to you. You can't just like, you know, come out of talking about the Yankee score and just walk in and just, oh, now I'm talking to Hashem. Like, yeah, I was just talking to somebody else. Now, you can't do that right away. It doesn't happen. That's why we have a Pesukei Dezivra and a Birkas Kriya Shema, right? First we become like basic level. That's one of the reasons why we have the whole Hakdama, but Yesh HaShoah Achas, it takes time. This is not a Musar idea. It's not Musar. It's a din. You can't daven the right way. You can't really envision HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of you if you don't take the time to imagine that and to contemplate that and to say, hey, I'm about to actually speak to the master of the universe. Rav Pinkus compares someone who does not prepare for davening well to someone who has a ladder before him that can take him up to Shamayim to speak with Hashem. And all his life he dances and dances and dances around the ladder, but just cannot climb it. Elsewhere he compares this to a person who buys a car. I really like this mashal. A guy who doesn't invest time in thinking about davening, and preparing for davening, and wondering about davening, and trying to improve his davening. In another place he compares it to a person who buys a car and he always keeps it in first gear. He doesn't realize the car has 4 speeds. He's so impressed that the car can cruise at 40 miles an hour. If he would only realize how to shift the car into fourth, he would really fly. Spending time working on davening is an extremely good investment of time. It's very fascinating that to fulfill your obligation of Talmud Torah b'di'eved, you're yotzei with kriyas shma shachris v'arvus. Really, to fulfill your obligation all day long of Talmud Torah, the most basic level of Talmud Torah, you know, in about 5 minutes, 7 minutes, how long does it take to say Shema? 2 to 3 minutes, twice a day, morning and night. That's it, you're Talmud Torah. Tefillah, the basic level of tefillah, requires a lot more time. Between benching, you know, all the brachos that we say, Asher Yotzar, for most Jews, this time is completely wasted time. All this time that we spend, they're not thinking about, for most people, they're not thinking about anything, it doesn't affect them at all, they're not, they went through the motions. So, to invest time into really making tefillah a meaningful experience is such a worthwhile investment of time, because you're not just changing around a little bit of time. If you could really make that time something worthwhile to actually engage in a conversation, it could really change your whole existence. We recite 100 brachas a day. If we would take the time that a bracha would really have meaning, that every time you'd say a bracha, you'd like pause and think about what you're really doing and try to make some of the words be a little bit meaningful to you, it's not just an investment in that bracha. It affects you so often during the day. And in fact, one of the things that bother people so much about davening is that it is so long. There is almost no other mitzvah that we're obligated to do for such a long amount of time. If you think about it, I mean, how long does it take to shake a lulav? How long does it take to blow shofar? I mean, if you add up the 3 tefillos, benching, asher yotzar, all the brachos, it's probably more than an hour a day. Why did Chazal place such emphasis on tefillah? Why did Chazal close with this, but there's so much more to say. Why did Chazal put such an emphasis on tefillah? So there's a Gemara Masechet Shabbos that says, Rava Chazya l'Rav Hamnuna d'kamarech b'tzluse. Rava saw Rav Hamnuna that he was davening a long Shmon Esrei. Amar! So Rava said to him, Rava got upset. He got upset that Rav Hamnuna was putting so much effort into the davening. Amar! Manichin chaye olam ve'oskim b'chaye shah. He says, you could have been learning so much more. So you're leaving chaye olam, learning is chaye olam, and davening is chaye shah. Chaye olam means you're leaving eternal life for life of this world. Tefillah is called chaye shah. While a person can attain the highest level of ruchnius through learning Torah, as the Mishnah says, the Talmud Torah connected kulam, tefillah is a step before that. It's absolutely crucial for man's existence, which comes even before his spiritual growth. Just like nothing stands before pikuach nefesh, so too must we devote most of our spiritual energy towards ensuring that we will have the basic necessities to live on each day. In this way, tefillah is chaye shah. Now again, you can't do it forever. He was upset that he was davening all day long. It was taking away time from his learning. But perhaps the reason why, on a basic level, Chazal put so much time and effort into davening is because davening is chaye shah. That's what Rav Pinkus suggests. Davening is chaye shah. And I always found it interesting to note that tefillah follows the same three-part division throughout the day that, generally speaking, we have in our meals. In the time of the Gemara, they used to only eat two meals. Right? My father-in-law in Israel, he only eats two meals a day. He says, in the times of the Gemara, they only eat two meals. So he eats two meals a day. Okay. But, right, so perhaps that's why davening is divided up to Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. It seems that Chachamim wanted us to experience Hashem's presence throughout the day so we can, you know, get excited, you know, we could start the day off with Ruchnius, and just in the middle of the day when our spiritual energy is about to wane, we get a little pick-me-up and then we dive in Mincha. And then before you go to sleep, to summarize the day, at the end of the day, you have Ma'ariv. Maybe just like we have breakfast, lunch, and supper. It's the same idea. You know, you eat breakfast in the morning to get you going. Lunch is, you know, as your energy is waning a little bit, so you have that meal to get you through the end. And then supper, at the end of the day, because just like you need physical energy all day long, you need that sense of spiritual connection all day long. It's chayisha, it's important for this moment, and without it, we would not have our basic necessities in life. This is the way we're supposed to look at tefillah. And it requires a lot of thought. The main thing I want to stress for today, and again, we're going to talk about it a lot more, maybe next week we'll talk a little bit about one of the biggest problems in tefillah is, as I said before, really envisioning. Today I tried to talk about the importance of tefillah. But next week I want to start getting into the mechanics of how does a person really envision HaKadosh Baruch Hu standing before him. I think I once said in the course of the Hashkafa Shmuz from my Rebbe, Reb Mendel Blachman, I think I once said that people use their imaginations for all the wrong things. Did I once say that? That people use their imaginations to imagine everything that it's usher to imagine about. When it comes to something like envisioning the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu right in front of you, which is why Hashem gave us imagination, so then we say, I don't see him, I don't feel him. So we'll talk about practical steps, what a person can do to try and envision HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of him in tefillah.